podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Yeah! you know, the local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star. So care about
your speakers. Anybody else have any interesting stories they want to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
It's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, AltRockRadio.ca, XRPRadio.co.uk, over in Birmingham, United Kingdom, BillDeSean.com, I always forget my own station, and RootRootRadio.com on the West Coast, on the beaches of California. This is the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 527. With me tonight are three members of the band Anxiety at Best. What's up, guys?
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having us.
No problem. I'm starting off with a cliche question. You're just gonna have to forgive me. I apologize ahead of time. So my question is, if it's anxiety at best, what is it at the worst?
It's real bad.
Shaking in the bathroom, you know, you're just kind of hyperventilating. That's probably the worst of it.
Like, it's you know, it's kind of like that. I don't even know how to describe it. Like, at the worst, it's like you can't think, you can't tolerate. So that's why we're at best, where we can think and actually write music.
So that leads me to why is that the band name, which I think is where you were headed there.
Well, I guess I came up with the band name, and I got high anxiety. And I'd like it to be always at the best and not at that worst. So, and then, you know, we branched out. We, you know, Caitlin then became a member, Chris became a member. And at that point, we just figured, you know what? So many people can relate to having anxiety. We're just going to keep the band name because it relates to so many different people. We've had people want our shirts that say anxiety best on them just because it says anxiety at best and people can relate to
that. I never thought of that. That's actually very good marketing play there.
So, even if they don't like our music, they like our shirt because it says anxiety at best and they can relate to it.
How did the band form? I mean, you mentioned kind of a joining order there.
Yeah, Everett was the OG. You came up with everything. And I actually met Everett at a show that I was playing at as a solo act. And towards the end of the event, he asked me to be the singer of the band because he said about wanting a female vocalist or something for their group, which it was a completely different lineup because Anxiety at Best was actually playing at the same show I was playing at, but they were all completely different lineup other than Everett.
And the lineup back then was like this, a kind of like a mixture of people that showed up to play the event together. It wasn't like a fully structured band. So like, It was anxiety. It was cool, but it wasn't anything established at all. It was kind of like a fun for all band. Like, let's meet together and play some music, you know? Then Chris, you know, came along after what me and Caitlin played, I think, two shows together as the band Anxiety at Best. And after that, we were looking for another guitarist. And that's when Chris came along.
So what do you do, Chris?
I play the guitar and I also assist in doing the drums.
An interesting way of putting that. What do you mean by assist in doing the drums?
Oh, so we don't have an actual drummer.
Not right now.
We did.
Oh, okay.
Drummer kind of bailed on us and, you know, we're trying to make do. But Chris found an awesome program where we can actually make our own drums, and that's what we use to make our music. We play with the drum track.
There are quite a few bands that do that. One that pops into my head is Nine Stitch Method. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I'm good friends with them.
Okay. Yeah, Patrick and the Yeti.
Yeah, the Yeti. Hi, guys.
I actually, I'm playing one of Patrick's Seethe tracks this week, so I can't really play him with you guys next week. But he got a plug. So with the current situation that we're in, and you mentioned that you guys have missed some shows, if you were given a chance to play an outdoor social distanced event, what venue would you choose to play it at? And what bands would you take with you to play?
Well, I don't know where. I would say probably I would want to play at Stage AE, their outdoor stage. Not sure about who we could play with, though. I don't really. Do you guys have any ideas?
Stage AE would be. Stage AE outdoor is awesome. Same with the pavilion. They got so many names now.
Yeah, Star Lake, you know.
That place. With the big open space, that's awesome too. I think one of the bands that I would take with me, I mean, one of my all time favorite metal bands is Azalea Dying. So like, if I could play with Azalea Dying, that would be amazing.
Anybody else have an opinion? I got the not sure who I would play with Azalea Dying.
Well, it doesn't have to be just local. It can be anybody, right?
It can be anybody.
Personally, I would love to play a show with Hailstorm or honestly, any kind of like, you know, your big name rock and roll, like Metallica, any of them, I think it'd be awesome to do a show with them. Alice Cooper is another big one that I would love to do a show with.
Do they have to be, is this like all in green? Like, maybe like, can we bring something back from the dead to play?
Yes, you can do that.
Oh, that's easy. The Beatles. I'm like, all four of them. And Cobain.
Yeah, playing with Nirvana would be
something. Yeah.
That'd be fun.
See, now, I wasn't going to ask this question, but it kind of rolls into it. Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters are known to answer those signs in the stands where people want to play with them and bring them up on stage and harass them a little bit and then let them play. If you were in that situation, who would be your Dave Grohl? So what band would be on stage?
Ghost. Poppy and Yurtis and Ghost.
Yeah, I'd have to say that'd be a pretty fun one to bring on stage. I love his theatrics. I think it'd be really cool to see that happen.
Okay. Chris, we got to work out a signal.
Hey, this is anxiety at best.
Touch your shoulder if you don't have one.
I don't know. Probably like Die Hard is Murder, like a deathcore band. Cause, yeah.
Can each of you pinpoint the moment that you knew that you had to be a musician?
For me, I would have to say I got into songwriting about when I was 12, but I think what happened to cause that was, like, I was in some talent show at school and I sung a song, and I remember seeing, it was a fairly popular song at the time. I don't remember it off the top of my head right now, but at the time it was kind of popular. People were singing along to it. It was a good time. And I was like, wow. I kind of got a euphoric rush, you know. I was like, this is awesome. And so at that point, I was like, okay, this is something I really enjoy doing. And I'm writing songs and then eventually taking them to the studio. And I was like, yeah, from that point on, I was just hooked. I just wanted to keep doing music.
I think the time that really, I've been writing for years. And whenever I finally was able to transfer my writings into lyrics, that was awesome to me, because most of the lyrics that Anxiety Best uses are me and Caitlin. We usually like switch off and on writing them. And then Chris writes like a lot of the melodies and, of course, the riffs. So it is a team effort. But I think once I realized that I could write lyrics and that people enjoyed them was a hitting moment for me. And then whenever I was like in high school, you know, I was your typical like listen to metalcore and all that kind of stuff. You know, now I have tattoos and gauges. And it wasn't uncommon that, like, I show up at a show, like, some random show that I was just seeing, and then someone would be like, hey, you need backstage, you're on part of it. I'm like, no, I'm not, I'm just here to see them. I think, like, that was, like, and then, you know, I think that was, like, you know, like, huh, maybe I could do this, you know?
I don't know, for me, I started discovering metal when I was, like, young, and originally I wanted to be a metal vocalist, but I just never did that, and then a few years back, I started like get really into the blues and started doing like blues guitar, and then I kind of meshed the two, and then now here we are, kind of thing.
Tell me a little bit about your song that we're gonna play tonight, "The Age of Rage." It could be a story about recording it. It could be, you could tell me what it's about, or what kind of emotions you have when you're playing it. Whatever you want to share.
Yeah. Okay. I actually, because Everett mentioned earlier, he and I kind of trade off on writing lyrics for songs. I actually wrote the lyrics for that song, and I just kind of wrote it one night because I was just kind of feeling like looking at the situation going on in the world. Like, this was before a bunch of things were going on, like before COVID even. And I was just like, you know what? I was really pissed off one night about the state of the world, you know, so many problems and things like that. And so I was thinking of a way to kind of express that in a way that could be kind of cool and fun and something I could share with the band. And that's kind of how that song happened. And, you know, I showed it to the guys one night at practice. We, you know, we worked around it. We got the drums figured out. And then, you know, kind of Chris started coming up with some guitar to go with it. And then we brought it to the studio, like, I want to say 2 weeks later at that point. And we just kind of one and done recorded it.
Did you recorded tracking, or did you play it together?
We usually track it.
Yeah,
you tracked it. Okay. I mean, I've seen it done both ways. But that's a young song at 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's wise.
A lot. Whenever sometimes we'll be planning on doing a certain song, and then one of us gets an idea, and we're just like, scratch that. You know, like we're going with this one now. Sometimes new ideas just pop up out of nowhere, and sometimes end up being the best ideas you come up with.
That sounds like my classroom, but don't tell my.
I think the best thing about the age of rage for me personally, like especially like it sucks we haven't had really the chance to play it live because of everything going on. But when we play it, even at practice, I get this rush that I haven't gotten, especially on our preliminary songs, like before we did the Age of Rage. I feel like the Age of Rage was really what defined us as, like, before we were like maybe hard rock. The Age of Rage really took us over the top with more so metal. But I feel like that was the connection of the band, all of us together, that we put our heart and soul out to do. And every time that we played on practice, I mean, I'm looking at whenever I have like my bass, I look over at Caitlin and she's rocking out. I look over at Chris and he's rocking out. And I feel like together collectively, that's like kind of like the heart of like, you know, our music right now, because that was the first one we all poured our emotions into together.
I'll tell you what, let's take a short break. We're going to listen to The Age of Rage by Anxiety at Best. And we're also going to hear Ancient One by the band Helios. And then we'll be right back with Caitlin, Chris, and Everett from Anxiety at Best.
Where you get drunk.
Okay, that was Helios in the song Ancient One, and right before that was Anxiety at Best, The Age of Rage. And with me are Caitlin, Everett, and Chris from left to right on your screen. If you were DJing a party and the person who hired you told you you can only play unsigned bands, which unsigned bands would I hear at that party?
Ooh, ooh, that's a good one.
Personally, I think I would probably play, not to be biased, but, Nicest Method would probably be on that playlist. Another band that we've played with, Over My Dead Body.
Yeah.
They're awesome. We love playing them.
They're awesome.
Too. Definitely them.
Over My Dead Body is sick.
Yeah. Another band, Four for Fall. We, I'm friends with their drummer, but...
They were one of the bands that I got music from this month, so I can play them on this episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
Probably go out and play as far as unsigned bands go.
There's a couple other ones that we've been doing, we have done a lot of shows. Like, the one show we played at was at Double Dealing Cafe in Elwood, and we did a Rockin' for the Dogs, which was all the money and stuff was donated to the Butler County Humane Society. And there's a couple bands that were scheduled to play with us on there that unfortunately did everything they didn't play with, but they were awesome too. The band Safety Last was really—they're really good.
I am, and young.
What, they're all like 20 and under, aren't they?
I believe so. I interviewed them at a Rock for Life event last year.
Yeah. And that was, we didn't get to play with them yet, but hopefully a show coming up, we will. And then there's another band that we were going to play with called the Sneaky Heat Missiles.
Don't know them.
Like, they'd be really fun to play with. We're on Facebook together now, and they're goofy. I think we could go on with them great.
They have a cool, unique sound.
They do.
Yeah, another one that popped in my head. When you said goofy and unique, there's a band called the Shit Dicks that we were supposed to play with. I don't know if you've heard of them.
I have not. See, this is why I asked that question, because I can show off who I do know and then learn some more.
The Shit Dicks are like, they're guitar and drums, but they trade off vocals too. And like, it's so cool. We found out about them watching the Facebook video they did, and they were both like shirtless and they were just jamming.
They were really good.
They're cool. So definitely check out the Shit Dicks.
If you were given a chance to be a tech for any band on their next tour, which band would you want to work with, and why? Why do you pick that band? So it could be signed, unsigned.
Dead or Alive?
Sure.
Okay.
You go first. I don't have an answer.
If I was a tech, I don't know anything about tech. Stuff. But say I was really good with it. A band that's no longer a band, definitely the Beatles or Black Sabbath or Queen. Any of those legends I guess Black Sabbath is still a bit boring. But I'm talking about like the classics. A New Day band, like ones that are Ghost again. I think the theatrics work with their tech stuff would be pretty cool. And then maybe a tech guy for just a rock and roll band like Jet or someone like that would be pretty cool and pretty unique to work with.
I think for me, after having some time to think about it, I would probably want to be tech for Slayer, because I've seen, I've been to their shows a bunch, and I think, one, the guys in the band seem super cool, and two, I just think that being in the presence of them and working on their stage, whatever tech things they would need. Again, I'm not totally good with that kind of stuff either, but I still think if given the opportunity, I would love to be able to help them out with all the crazy stuff that they do on stage.
And for me, I would absolutely love the tech for Led Zeppelin, just to meet Jimmy Page alone. Like, if they were still around, obviously. And then Chuck Berry, and then Rage Against the Machine, and Soundgarden. And I don't know, I could go on and on and on, but just to meet those guys and be responsible for everything it'd be cool.
What is something surprising about each of you that your fans would be interested to know that they don't already know? Are you guys familiar with the band Deathlehem?
Well, I'd say for me personally, probably the most surprising thing would be the fact that whenever I was originally setting out on my musical journey, I always wanted to be a pop star. I was really into that kind of thing when I was younger, when I first started getting into music. But then I eventually kind of transitioned into more rock and roll, heavy rock, heavy metal. I'd say it was probably the most surprising thing fans would find based on, you know, obviously the style I do with the band, you know, is way different than any kind of pop star would do.
I think my most surprising is I actually have 3 published children's books.
You're the second person in a metal band to tell me that.
Yeah, I have 3 books published, and then also some poetry published, which is pretty cool. I think maybe a lot of people, you know, typical wouldn't, you know, wouldn't realize that. And the other thing that is, I think a lot of people won't realize about me is that I literally every music besides I'm sorry I just don't like country, but everything from my playlist will go to from Cannibal Corpse to Britney Spears in a heartbeat. And a lot of people get annoyed, but I love it.
Yeah, for me, when I first started guitar, I wanted to play Robert Johnson. That was my goal. And then as I started playing, but I kind of changed. I wanted to be a blues guy, but then I started to work my way into harder rock and then metal and whatnot. Yeah, I was originally a blues guy.
I've done so many interviews over the past couple of days. I can't remember who said it to me, but I asked a band if they can meet one person in music history, who would they meet? What would they ask them? And they told me that one of them said that they wanted to meet Robert Johnson and ask him if he actually met the devil at the crossroads.
I would love to know. To actually know what the deal was.
I mean, by all accounts, he was terrible before that story.
Yeah, he was terrible. He disappeared for a year and then came back and was he had 7 strings on his guitar, which was unheard of in the 30s. And then he was just in that day, he was the shredder. I mean, not shredder, I guess, but yeah.
Here's your chance to rat each other out. I want you to tell me about an embarrassing moment on stage, but you can't tell me about one that you had. You have to tell me about one somebody else on stage had. So they might not even know that it was embarrassing until you tell the story.
Okay.
I know what's going to say about me, probably.
Hey, you don't know that. I'm going to say that there was a show we did whenever we first played, just the 3 of us. 3 of us did our first show together as Anxiety Invest. 3 of us. And we were transitioning between songs, and it was actually supposed to be, we were trying to tune or whatever, and the sound guy started our drum track before being ready for the right key change in the song. And so the entire song, the whole way through, it was off. And we were hoping that nobody noticed. People probably did, because we were playing a cover song, of course. Everybody knew. But, yeah, that was probably one of the most embarrassing moments on stage.
Yeah, that would definitely have to take the cake.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like I should add something about myself too.
Okay.
Can I do that?
I mean, I guess.
So that same song, whenever the tuning was issue, it was a standard set song, and I was drop D the whole way through that song.
What song was it, if you don't mind me asking?
Zombie by the Cranberries.
It's a pretty well known song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty embarrassing.
I have a friend who took videos of each of our songs at that show, actually, and he took a video of that song, and it's never going to be seen ever. I don't want anyone to remember that.
it wasn't all entirely our fault, but...
No, it wasn't your fault at all.
Well, the drop D thing was kind of my fault.
The sound guy did, as the night went on, our sound guy kind of... Well, not our sound guy, but the sound guy for the venue was having more and more alcohol. And so, as you can tell, things just kind of got a little awry. And I'm sure he thought we were good, but we weren't actually good. And so then he just kind of was like, all right, play. Ooh.
I won't ask you who the sound guy was or the venue.
Studio moments do that really funny.
Studio, always the best time.
The track that I played tonight isn't officially being released until October. Is that correct?
Yes. We actually have named the album now, too, after The Age of Rage. We are playing, as of now, we are still thinking October 31st around Halloween, the album will be released. It will be around there. We were talking tonight, we might move around a little bit, but we'll still be right around the same time, late October, early November. And I believe, we do have 8 songs coming out on that album, right?
Yeah.
So I think once that The Age of Rage really meant a lot to us as a band, and we'll name the album after it too, because a lot of the songs are actually maybe even a lot heavier than The Age of Rage. But that was what we started it with. That's what collectively made us.
Are you guys recording in a studio, or are you doing the home recording thing?
We actually we do go to like a technical studio, but it's out of this guy's attic that he's kind of turned into a home studio. But we are, going to an actual studio. This guy's gone to school for, been doing it for over 20 years. He's really good at what he does. So for, a local studio that's very cost effective for us, it is pretty good quality for what we're paying for and the fact that it's so close by.
Oh, no, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We actually have a studio session this coming Sunday.
Oh, cool. You it being in the Butler area, I was expecting you to mention the Meat Locker recording studio.
Oh,
I've heard, yeah.
Have you heard of where we go is the Inner Tube Studio? It's in Ambridge.
I feel like I have heard of that.
It's pretty tight fitting up in the studio, though.
Oh yeah.
But he's a great guy.
He's awesome.
He's killer on the mixes and stuff. So,
and that's how of course I was putting the instruments and all that too, but like. The stuff that the subtle little things that he might add make the world a difference to us. And I feel like without his professional quality, we wouldn't be where we're at, especially on the bigger shows we're playing, with the Letter Black, the Smiling New Show and all that kind of stuff. I feel like without Nick's help, who knows?
If they were going to insert Anxiety at Best into a cartoon series, what cartoon series would you be in, and which character would play each of you?
Ooh.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Wait.
I wish I could take credit for that question too, but that's Christina from the band The Shadow, The Shadow Event.
Okay, cool.
That's hers.
It's a good question.
What do we think? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Adventure Time. No, Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty?
No.
I don't know about that one.
SpongeBob.
Okay. And who each of us would be. You're definitely Patrick. Listen, Everett is 100% Patrick because, it's just a running joke in the band that he's the slow one of the band.
I am.
I mean, with how he behaves sometimes. I think... I don't know who you would be, honestly.
You might be like Larry.
Larry?
Larry.
Larry the Lobster, man.
Wait, what?
I don't know, man.
I don't know who I would be.
Caitlin, you're Sandy.
I'm Sandy?
You're totally Sandy. Here's a squirrel.
Ow. Oh, man.
This should be the easiest question of the night. Where can people find you on social media?
Facebook. We are the most active on Facebook. We have an Instagram page as well. And we do have a Twitter page as well, which I try to run, but I don't use Twitter a whole lot. So just working on it. I don't really use Twitter at all in my personal time. So trying to get the fans account on there going, I'm like, all right, just got to do it. But Facebook, we are the most active on there. Did you make a TikTok?
I think we did make a TikTok again.
Well, we don't really have any.
And then definitely, Spotify for music, iTunes, iHeartRadio.
We have a YouTube channel as well.
We have YouTube also.
And we have a website that Caitlin herself actually developed. Mm-hmm.
And it's actually on the screen right behind, below Caitlin. So.
Cool.
And that's actually cool. He is like, you can like now like on all the other social media, you can be like merch and stuff like that, but we can like the website is the best way to do the merch, and if we have upcoming shows coming up and all that.
So go to anxietyatbest.com and check out what's going on there, and then you can go to the social media.
That'd be ideal.
Conveniently linked at the bottom of our homepage.
I want to thank you guys for coming on. Hopefully that wasn't too difficult. I kind of toned the questions down.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything that you want to say before we fade out into the evening?
Again, thank you, Bill. This was awesome. We thank you for giving us the chance to talk to you tonight with your busy schedule too.
You're welcome.
Awesome, and we really like what you're doing with the show.
Thank you.
Ever since I talked to you about being on, I've been listening to it a lot. You know, some of the older episodes you've done, everything, great stuff, and we thank you for everything that you do for all the fans.
Thank
and,
you.
What you do and what your team does too, that if there's any people helping you, it means a lot, especially for the local bands trying to get their, underway. So we really like to thank you.
I do want to mention the upcoming shows, and of course I don't have them pulled up like normal, so give me 1 second. If you go to parockshow.com, like I'm doing over here on my laptop, they are listed on the right-hand side. Coming up the next 2 weeks, August 14th and the 21st, I did a special episode that I cut into 2 episodes for the radio stations on the Rattle Clack compilation, which is 11 local bands, unsigned bands from the Pittsburgh area on a disc that was put out by Rattle Clack Entertainment. On the 28th, we have Aqua Dementia. On September 4th, Ultra Violent. September 11th, Modern Fossils. The 18th, Royal Honey. 25th, Black Ridge. On October the 2nd, we have Melina, little pop rock from Pittsburgh. She just released a disc. Four for All will be here on October 9th. Brady Novotny will be here for, I think, his third or fourth time on October 16th. Gary Burke III will be here for his first time on the 23rd, which happens to be my wife's birthday. And he's kind of, he's a country artist, but he has a couple tracks that the border on Southern Rock. And I have a soft spot for Southern Rock, so we're bringing Gary on.
Nice.
And then on the 30th, we have Jeff Benton, who runs Misra Records and Wild Kind Records, I believe is the other one. So that's where we stand right now. There's about 4 months worth of interviews there. So we are going to head out into the evening. You're going to hear a couple more of the best unsigned rock and metal tracks that Pennsylvania has to offer. And then, as always, you will hear John Lane from the Hellfire Club take us into the evening. My name is Bill. This has been the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 527. We'll see you next week.
So you're still thinking of me, just like I know you should. I cannot give you everything. You know I wish I could. I'm so high up. Caught up in this one, we're just young, dumb, and broke, but we've got lots to keep. Well, young, dumb, young, dumb, and broke, young, dumb, young, dumb, and broke, young, dumb, young, dumb, and broke, young, dumb, broke, high school kids. We've got so much in common, we argue all the time. You always say I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure I'm right. But we're just young, dumb, and broke. Well, young, dumb.
time I think This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.